everybody, and welcome back to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are happy to be queer to answer your questions. I'm Gina.
And I'm Cheyenne.
And class is now in session. Today, we are covering long-distance relationships 2.0. And we did do long-distance relationships a long time ago. It's a good episode. I definitely recommend listening to it if you want to get into some of the basics here. Our backgrounds with long distance relationships, because we both have them, but we've got more questions to get deeper into it. So it's got another 200 level course for you today.
Hell yeah. And I feel like this is just something we can keep rehashing, because it's a trope in the sapphic community for a reason. Like, it's a stereotype. It is going to happen to somebody. And one of the first ones we got made me laugh, because I'm pretty sure we got the exact same question for our last episode on long distance relationships. And it was, why do we do this to ourselves? And it's like, why do we get in relationships at all? Why do we like agree to be vulnerable or like risk getting hurt? Like, it's because the pros outweigh the cons, and the good parts hopefully outweigh the bad. Yeah, I think we do it to ourselves just because, you know, you meet that person, you can't control where they live. Like, if they're across the country, they're across the country or across
one
the world.
One thing I was thinking about that we didn't kind of cover last time on this topic. And I recently read Audre Lorde's biomythography, aka memoir. And at one point, she's in I don't know if you can call it a relationship. She's in a situationship, we'll say, with this woman. And she low-key admits that both of them were like very aware that they were only sleeping with each other because they were the only like lesbians they knew in a like 7-mile radius or whatever. And so one of the things that I was thinking of with this concept is like, okay, technology advancing is a great thing for queers to connect. And that could be part of why, and maybe we did get into just like that a little bit last time, but that could be part of why we get into long distance relationships as queer people, because now we're not just confined to the 7 queers who are in our 7-mile radius, if there's even 7, you know, you can now branch out to anywhere else. And so it's like a supply, demand, technology advancement kind of thing, you know, like if you aren't, you know, as lucky as Cheyenne, whose person is in their, you know, their city, I happen to go across the world, you know, across the country to find my person. And so she's like, I feel like there's a little bit of the like technology aspect, because we can connect to people who aren't close to us in a way that Audre Lorde couldn't in 1970 something or 1960 something, you know what I mean?
I know in the past, people used to take out like personal ads in magazines and reach out to each other that way and like call each other on the phone or write letters or whatever. And obviously this is like a way more, like a rapid fire version of that. But yeah, I feel like without that, and I guess looking back and thinking about in terms of like the safety and coming out and like support and visibility and everything, that would make it even harder. So it's like, okay, I found this one person who's queer and I don't know about anyone else. I don't know. And it's like that in lots of places still today, of course, but it's like, I know this one person is queer and they're out, or they're out to me. And it's not necessarily safe to ask, but I guess that's why like flagging is existed and gay bars and all of that. But yeah, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's think smarter, not harder, I guess. But then it does make it harder when you have to like travel, pay for flights, pay for bus tickets. It has its own unique set of challenges for sure.
It can get expensive to like keep up with seeing each other frequently. Yeah. And our next question is, do they really work? And I think they can. I think that money helps, because having the ability to see each other and actually even traveling together, I think that can be really exciting. My one friend is a flight attendant, and he and his ex would like they lived in different cities, but they would just fly and like coordinate their flights to like be all over the world with each other. And so I think it can work for different people, but it's not a universal thing of like, yes, it works or no, it doesn't. It's like, well, who are you and what's your vibe and what do you want in relationships and what's your goal? But I don't think it's not feasible a blanket for they most don't
people
work.
To be like, let's meet all over the world. Like most people aren't flight attendants with like discounts and free flights and,
or like millionaires with tons of disposable income to fly all over PJ. Whenever.
Yeah.
Or PTO even to like be off of work. Like I can be off of work for that long all year, like to be traveling like every month and stuff, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
no. So it's all very situational, I think, but it can work. It's a matter of like, is that somebody that you want to make it work with?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think long distance relationships are a luxury in some way, especially if you are able to like see them regularly, because like, I could not afford to do that. Like, I'm glad I don't have to, but like at this point in my life, like I would really be struggling in a lot of different ways if I were like seeing someone regularly and they were very far away. Yeah.
Yeah. Price of gas is high these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Even that. Driving. Yeah. But I think it can be worth it for some people, and obviously some people not, so that kind of determines like if it works or not. And actually a few followers responded and let me know about their experience with long distance relationships, and one person said, I'm in one and it sucks. So it sounds like this person, maybe the person that they're in the relationship with, it's just not a good fit for long distance. Maybe long distance isn't a fit for them in general. Like there could be a lot of different factors. But then someone else said, no questions, just want to say I married my long distance relationship, it can work out. So it really just depends on the individuals and the individual relationship.
I had cousins who were long distance for 7 years while one of them was in veterinary school in a different state, and they made it through that, eventually moved in together after school was over. Now they're married with kids and have been living together for like probably 7 years since then.
Yeah.
So it's like, are you thinking long term? Are you thinking short term? Why are you long distance? There's way too many factors for it to be a blanket, it works or it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to say one way or the other. Another question we got is, how do you handle the pressure and anxiety of finally seeing them in person?
I actually love this question because I feel like it's not always acknowledged. It's like, we should just be so happy and relieved. And like, sometimes there is a lot of pressure because you haven't seen them. So it's like, well, are they going to want to have sex right away? What if I'm not horny? What if like, I don't want to till tomorrow? I think that the best thing that my girlfriend and I did when we were in our little, like, remember we did that like pseudo long distance thing. We just called out what we were feeling. Like I would say things like, why am I nervous to see you?
Yeah.
Or like, I'm so like nervous to like give you our like the first kiss of seeing you. And then when she would be like, oh my gosh, me too. I feel like it made me feel better. Cause it's like, okay, I'm not being Delulu, even though this is my girlfriend of 2.5 years. And I'm like,
yeah,
like, whatever. But it was just kind of like something that once you saw them, it kind of started to like chill out. But you also have to take the pressure out of them. Like, if they're traveling or if you're traveling, that person might be tired. So like, you can't put too much pressure on the way they're going to be when you do see them. You can't put any kind of sexual, I mean, you shouldn't anyway, but like, you can't have the expectation of like, I'm going to jump your bones when I see you. Even if they said that in a moment of like being flirty and horny, that's not a guarantee that like, that's going to be the vibe after they've been on a plane and a child's been crying next to them for 6 hours. Like, you have no idea. So I think calling it out, keeping the expectations low, communicating and saying like, I'm so excited to see you, but my energy is so low. We're going to have a great couple of days, but let's just get in bed and cuddle right now because my energy is like at zero. Mm-hmm. Like so much of just like calling things like it is in a good way.
Yeah. And I think trying to detach from any expectations will help a lot. And like, maybe make the expectation like, I'm going to get to spend time with this person in whatever way and shape and whatever it takes form. Like, you're just going to get to be with them. And hopefully, like, I don't know, one time I was like long distance, like kind of talking to this person, and I finally like met up with them, and they like, I was there for like a few days, and they like didn't even hang out with me like half of the time. And like when they were with me, they were like playing video games. Like she was like ignoring me. So it's like, even that might be a little bit of a bare minimum expectation, but like you should have that like you're gonna like spend some good quality time together when you're going to see someone long distance. But yeah, I think removing expectations and, like Gina said, communicating how you feel. And also, I've said this before, but just kind of reframing the anxiety and like this pressure you're feeling as excitement and like looking forward to it, because it kind of feels the same in our bodies for the most part. And like we can trick ourselves by being like, no, I'm feeling this way because I'm excited, not because I'm like scared that I won't live up to their expectations. And then your brain kind of follows suit. So I think that can be an option as well.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. So once you're out of the long distance phase, somebody asked how to make the transition from long distance relationship to local smooth. My LDR GF of over a year just moved to my city. First of all, congratulations. You've made it to the other side.
One in a million. I don't know the exact statistics of this, but I feel like that's pretty rare to actually transition from long distance to no distance.
I think it's just a little of like still keeping expectations kind of low if you can. When my one ex, like we matched on Tinder before I moved to Arizona. And so then it kind of was that kind of transition when I finally did move here. And I definitely had some anxiety of like, what if the vibe isn't the way I think it is when we're on the phone or on FaceTime? Like, what if it's just like not there in person? But I think that it was smooth in that we were overall just like very excited to see each other. She did a really good job of balancing like us doing stuff together, but giving me time to like explore on my own, figure out like my own footing in the city. I had like work friends sort of at the time because I moved here with a job. So I still did stuff with them, and she was very encouraging of that. So it's kind of like a balance of like, especially since in this situation, the girlfriend's moving to this city. So it's new for her. So it's a balance of making her feel welcome and welcoming her into your circle, but then also letting her find her own circle and her own footing and her own balance. And knowing that it's not going to just be like, she's here and everything's 100%. Like moving's really stressful. I've heard like, it's like one of the most stressful situations is like moving and whatever. It's like up there for highest anxiety inducing things. So like, you know, have some grace, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've never had this experience, but what you said makes a lot of sense, because you don't want to like move and then just integrate into someone else's life. You want to like carve out your own life and then kind of come together with that person. And then like, hopefully you don't break up, but if the relationship does end, your partner still wants to like have a life of their own and things to do and people to see and places to go that aren't just like yours. And I think that's really important. So I guess just like managing expectations about like how much time you'll spend together, because I feel like it would probably be really easy to go from being on opposite sides of the country and or world or whatever and not seeing each other for like months at a time, and then being like, we're gonna see each other every day, like we're gonna spend every free moment together, and that would be really easy. But then I think that's like a good way to like crash and burn a relationship that previously had so much independence and separation.
It is exactly how this person said, a transition. It's not just like a light switch kind of thing.
That's a great metaphor. I love that. Another question we got was, how do I avoid being controlling on accident? And I don't know, have you ever had that experience with like a long distance relationship?
I don't know about like controlling is a strong word, but I definitely, when my girlfriend and I were in different cities in our little, I don't know, pseudo whatever, there were certain things that, because we're non-monogamous, and there were certain things that either like she wanted to do that I said no to, or I wanted to do that she said no to, but I don't think either of us felt controlling. I did worry that I was asked, like, that me saying no was like unfair, I guess, but that's very Libran of me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was just like trying to make everything fair, you know what I mean? But boundaries are important. So I think we can sometimes be hard on ourselves and we think we're being controlling. And a lot of that, I think, is like honestly patriarchal thoughts, because like boundaries aren't always a form of control. It all depends on how it's framed. If you're just trying to protect yourself, that's not necessarily controlling. But if you're saying things that are unfair for this person to do or not be able to do, that's different. But I think that sometimes we can just be hard on ourselves because of the patriarchy and, you know, women are controlling. And so like, as lesbians, we're like, no, I want to be more chill, but no, like you're allowed to have boundaries.
Yeah. I also think that a lot of people can conflate control and boundaries at times and think that they're setting a boundary, but really what they're asking is control. Like, because a boundary is removing yourself from a situation if something happens. It's not like dictating what someone else can or can't do. It's like, okay, if you're going to do that, I'm not going to be around, or I'm going to not be in this relationship, or I'm gonna leave the room. Like, it's about like yourself and preserving your own safety and not saying you can't do this because I don't like it, or I wouldn't do that, or whatever. And I think that's the best way to avoid being controlling. It's like, I am not going to stay around for that because that's not the kind of life I want to live. And so that's like removing yourself from the situation. Like, there are ways to walk away and avoid without controlling, for sure. But it is like, I feel like it is a hard line, because we're taught that like, okay, I set a boundary and they didn't follow it, so that means they don't love me or whatever. But like, the boundary is for you, not for them. So it's hard, because I don't think we're taught like how to actually set boundaries, or like the definition, or how to word them, or how to handle them. And like, I know I've had my boundaries crossed a lot, and I've probably crossed other people's boundaries too. And it's just like, we're not taught to like, I don't like navigate that the right way. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, cause even as you're saying it, like, oh, I'll just like remove myself from the situation. Like, I don't think it's as like simple as that, because like in the situations I'm thinking of with like my girlfriend and I, the things that she wanted to do or that I wanted to do, like, I don't think that either of us were like, well, you can do them, but I'll just like walk away. It was like, I'm not comfortable with that. And we very much care about what the other person's comfortable with. And I mean, there's certain things, not all things, but there are certain things that fall in that category where it's like, I don't necessarily have to agree with her boundary, but I'm going to respect it. I don't find it controlling, because she's not like, you can't do this, you're not allowed to do this. She's like, it will make me uncomfortable if you do this.
And you're I respect you enough to not want to put you in that position.
Well, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, so I will not be doing this. I think you're right. We're like, I don't think we have the best knowledge on setting boundaries. Like, that's a topic of conversation in society that I think we're still working on the right way to do things. And long distance relationships is unique, because there has to be more boundary setting than you think there would be. Like, you think like, oh, we're away, we're there's so much freedom. Like, no, you need to like, there's so much more communication that needs to happen, because so many scenarios, it's just different. It's a different level, I should say.
Yeah. It's really weird. Like, it's even going back to the situationships conversation, like, you would think that like a situationship, you would have to have less conversation about boundaries. But if you want to have like a healthy situation, I mean, it kind of takes away from the situationship aspect, but like, if you want to have a good dynamic and you're not hurting each other and you're not like fucking with each other's heads and playing games and all this bullshit, like, you have to have more conversations than you might in a monogamous relationship, where some of that stuff is like kind of ingrained. And that's not me saying like I don't think those conversations still shouldn't be had, but some of it is a little bit more expected, like conventional, and like, you have a little bit more like freedom and vulnerability and time to like communicate, whereas situationships, it's like, when you even talk about that. Like, when will that happen? Probably not. It will probably implode before you get a chance to. But that's why it would be like better to talk about it. And I think
but
the
long
same
distance
thing.
Relationships take work for sure.
Yeah. And I've definitely been in a long distance, non-monogamous relationship where the person thought like it was just going to be like the easiest little like free for all type thing. And I was like, no, we really have to like put work and effort into this. Like, it's not just like have at it. Like, yeah. Don't give a fuck. But I mean,
otherwise,
that's
there's no
how,
longevity,
you know? Yeah. Yeah. You're just, how can you be on the same page if you don't even know what page you're on?
Feel that.
Yeah. Fucking mic drop.
So okay. Another question that we got, how do we quote unquote survive our long distance relationship when one of us doesn't see it as a big deal because they were deployed during many relationships, so their army or navy, whatever, their military, and the other thinks that we should be very aware of making time for each other and having long distance routines. Okay, so they have, it seems like, some clashing in values, and one person is maybe trying to copy and paste previous dynamics of relationships into this one. So
yeah, this kind of sounds like what I was just talking about being on the same page. And it kind of sounds like maybe they aren't necessarily compatible. And if the other one doesn't think it's a big deal and doesn't want to make time or have routines, that's fine. But they should still make an effort to do that if their partner feels like that's important to them for the relationship. Because it's like a compromise that'll just strengthen the relationship long term rather than having one person feel like emotionally neglected or like alone or whatever. And that's just, your relationship is just not going to work if that other person can't compromise and give some back. Because what's the point of being in a relationship with someone and you never talk to them and don't have any routines and don't have any closeness? Yeah. Like, what? Why are you in that? So I think the other person probably needs to be more involved in their relationship if they want to be in this relationship, is what I think.
It sounds like they're used to this dynamic, but that doesn't mean that there's less work because you've done it before. Like, there's just as much work. It's a new relationship every time. And there is definitely a lot of care that needs to be put into it. So it's not just like a low commitment thing. It's, yeah.
And I also don't believe that like a relationship is like a failure because it's over or it ended or whatever, but like, maybe that's the reason that their previous partners are not with them anymore, because they don't make time and don't talk and don't have any kind of like long distance routine. And it sounds like they're the one at a distance for the most part. So maybe that's kind of like a cycle that they're perpetuating also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, pivoting to some positive questions about long-distance relationships. Another question we got is, what are the pros to long-distance relationships?
I feel like if you're the kind of person who likes to have space, who's really working hard on a career, you know, taking a exam like the bar or something where you're working towards a goal and you don't have like tons of time, I think that long distance relationships can be nice because there can be a lack of pressure. Cause like you may talk to them on the phone for a little, text them, maybe do the like body double thing where you're both working, but you're not actively having to give them 100% because you're not in the room with them. So I had friends who were long distance while they were both working on their careers. And I know it was hard and it wasn't ideal. And they, you know, had a lot of struggles just not being near the person that meant the most to them in the world. But it also, I think, put them where they're both very successful in their careers at this point. Like, it really set them up for success. And they live in the same city now, but they were like New York and LA or Philly and LA, or they were literally like opposite sides of the country. And those kinds of things, it's like, what else do you have going on in your life? That's where there's the pros. It's not like, oh, this is the best formula for a relationship or kind of thing. Like, I don't think there's pros like that. I just think that it does give you a lot of space that a regular relationship that's not long distance may not always.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And then I was also thinking that you have to get better at communication and about finding ways to like connect with someone, just because you can't always like physically touch them, and you have to like come up with like creative ideas to stay connected, which is something we're going to talk about soon. But like there are different things you have to do because you don't have like the traditional avenues. And then like another pro that I was thinking of is, we were kind of talking about this earlier, obviously it's not having to settle for one of the five queer people in your hometown. Like you really can find someone that you're compatible with, someone you're attracted to, someone you're into, and it's not like, damn, like I just gotta settle for this one person. Like you have the whole fucking world out there as your oyster. Like, go eat
That's
that
true.
clam. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Go eat that clam.
Another question we got though is, what are some creative ideas to stay connected on a deeper level? And Gina, I know you're gonna have some good answers for this one because you do that and you're not even in a long distance relationship. So.
Well, true, but even when we were for a little, I think we did find some good, meaningful things. I mean, there's, you know, those question, the, you know, what Jason calls the white people question games. There's all
Stop.
kinds
I
of
was
like,
gonna say the same thing about the white
yeah,
person question game.
the white people question games. I do think those are really good. I think that they're great, like conversation starters. And I think like any sort of kind of off the wall questions, this or that, I think that's really fun. My girlfriend and I would also like just talk through like fake dates. Like, oh, if we've all the money in the world, where would we go on our first date? Like, which is one day. And we'd kind of talk through, paint a picture. And it's all very like daydreamy or whatever. You can get some really creative date ideas that can really like, I don't know, just open up parts of your brain that you wouldn't think to when you're just like sitting in a house together. It's like one of the my favorite things that my girlfriend and I did was, we when we were long distance once, she was, it wasn't even long distance, she was away for training for like a 3 week program, so it was for 3 weeks. But she and
That's a long
I
time.
it was a long time. I pulled up a website that was a virtual museum, and I sent her the link, and we were on FaceTime, and I was like, go on your computer, let's look through the whole museum. And we'd kind of be like poking through, and we weren't saying much. We had like music playing, and every once in a while I'd be like, what room are you in? And she'd like tell me. And then after we, you know, and I'd be like, oh, I'm in this room, whatever. And then after a while, after we went through, we had each picked one painting or whatever, and like pulled that up, and like we shared screens and was like, I picked this one because blah blah blah. And we talked through like why we picked it. And you can easily take any activity and choose to make it a surface level thing. You could be like, I picked this because it's pretty. But if you want to get deeper, like my girlfriend and I got deep. Like she picked this because she was like, this reminds me of being in Puerto Rico with my grandmother. I was like, it felt comforting to me because this, and this. Like, we really tried to get deeper with it. And I think those kinds of activities are really cool because you're given this gift where, like, your only really form of communicating is just like talking through. Like, you can't have body language, there's no physical touch, there's no outside distractions. So, activities like that, where you get talking about things that you might not when you're watching a movie or even out to dinner, because you can't get that vulnerable in public, like, you know, that kind of stuff. We also have done like quote unquote team building kind of things. Like we did like virtual escape rooms, or there's so many cool things online, even just websites where you can both be drawing at the same time. So you can like create a drawing together. There's a lot of ways that I think you can take something simple and draw meaning from it if you're willing to be vulnerable and go deep. And when you're just sitting on the phone or FaceTime, that's exactly what you should be doing with your partner, I think. But I'm an air sign, so.
Another way that what you were describing kind of made me think of this. My girlfriend does this like every day, and sometimes I'm like, I am not feeling creative right now. I cannot give you a good answer to this. But sometimes, like, I do obviously participate, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know, like, what kind of answer are you looking for? But she'll be like, okay, if I were condiment, which one would I be? And
then I have love
to like,
those.
Yeah, we always do that. And then we have to explain why. And sometimes I'm just like, my brain is not working. I do not know a single condiment. Can you do mine first? And then she'll like do it. And then I'll do hers. And she's like offended by the answer. And I'm like, you don't get to tell me I'm wrong after you ask me my opinion.
That's funny.
Yeah. I think that's like a fun thing to do. And we'll like do it for like our pets too. Like, okay, what would Pickles be? And kind of like say what her personality is and like why she would be horseradish or whatever. Yeah. So that's
we'll
like a
do
fun
like,
thing.
Because you've multiple cats, right? So we'll do like, would be like, which dog would you rather be if you had
yeah,
to be
we
one
do,
of them?
We do that too. We do that too.
I think even just telling the highs and lows of your day kind of thing, like sharing those, I think can just be really meaningful. And then you have an insight into what they're doing. So you feel connected to them. You do like touch points every day. Like, I think that's really nice. So
I think so too. Yeah.
Since we're already kind of going through kind of some date ideas, somebody else did say fun, long distance date ideas. And in addition to the ones that I've already said, I think you could have some really fun, like silly dates virtually. Like you can, you know, set up FaceTime, whatever, and give each other a prompt and be like, go dress up like you're a jock from in high school from the 90s. And the other person, go dress up like you're a goth from the early 2000s. Go. And then you go like find that up in your wardrobe. I think it's cute to just like order dinner together and eat together or to watch the same shows. And you don't even have to get all like tech crafty with it. You can just pull it up and press go at the same time. I've done that with my friends so many times. Like my one friend and I have watched a full season of Drag Race together virtually because I'll just literally go, okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, play. Like you don't have to have all these different crazy apps and things. You just like find fun things that you already want to do together, do it virtually. I already said like there's so many free virtual museums, which I think is super cool. Virtual escape rooms, virtual puzzles, like jigsaw puzzles that you can do together online. You can get so creative with the internet. So do a quick Google, but I definitely like the museum date was one of my favorite things ever that we've ever done. Like, physical or virtual. So that one's definitely my the highest recommend.
Yeah. When you said the museum date, I had looked up some ideas and that was one of the ones on there. And I was thinking like, it would be cute to be like, okay, find a piece of art that reminds you of me and tell me why. Yeah. Something like that would be really cute. And then I also made like a list. And then I also have a friend who's in a long distance relationship. So I asked her what her favorite long distance dates have been. So I'm going to read some of them. So I have body doubling, which you had mentioned, while like working, cleaning, studying, like just kind of having them on FaceTime or on Zoom or whatever while you do your own things. You could do a two-person book club. I know you kind of do that with one of your friends, Gina. Both read the
Who's
same
long
book
distance.
And talk about
She's
it.
A long distance friend.
Yeah, perfect. You could take a nap on Zoom or FaceTime or Skype if anyone still uses that together. You could play a video game together. You could go on YouQuiz or BuzzFeed and like take a quiz and go over the results and like say if you think it's accurate or not. You could watch a painting tutorial on YouTube and do it together, or like do a little like DIY paint and sip kind of thing, following a tutorial. I also have the white people card games, courtesy, wording courtesy of Dayson. I said that you, or I found one about how you could cook together over Zoom. That would probably be a nightmare for me. I personally wouldn't do that one, but I'm sure some people would love it. If you saw that one TikTok trend, you could make funny like presentations about a topic together and then like present it to each other. That would be fun. You could take an online course together. You could have morning coffee/breakfast together. Another one I saw that I was like, okay, I would not do this, but you could do like a YouTube workout together. You could do a themed dinner date. That might be kind of fun. You could play iMessage games together. You could shop for flights to see each other like while on FaceTime or whatever. That was a recommendation from my friend who's in a long distance relationship. And I was also thinking, if you saw this TikTok trend where the people like would have a song playing and they had like the lyrics up behind them, and then they had to like try and do like karaoke and see if they knew the lyrics without looking at the lyrics, that would be like a fun thing to do that I feel like you could do. And that reminded me of a game that my girlfriend and I play where we'll sing a song, and then you have to like start a new song with whatever the last word the other person left off on was. Or we'll play another game where they have to guess what song you're singing based off of like the shortest like amount of words or sound possible. Oh yeah,
we've done that. I love that. I
mean, you like just, play like, those games after we have sex. They're my favorite.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, can we play that game now? And then we like use a vibrator as like a microphone. So yeah,
that's hilarious.
That's like my favorite part.
That's your aftercare. That's so funny.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, like any of those things I think would be really fun to do virtually.
I think those are really, really good tips. So our next question, somebody asked if a Paris/New York relationship is too much. I don't think you can say any destination, this or that, is too much. Like, is your relationship working? It's going to be this like low key, the same amount of effort if you have a plane ride here versus a plane ride there. So who's to say what's too far? If you're making it work, you're making it work.
Yeah. I think it really just depends on the people, the relationship. I think, you know, I think we have more than one soulmate. I'm just going to like put that out there. Like, you know, platonic soulmates, whatever. But like, I think if like your fucking soulmate lives in Paris and you live in New York or vice versa, like why would you let that stop you? Why?
Yeah.
What is the point other than to torture yourself? So I think if it's a good relationship, it's not too much, but if it's, you know, not the best, it might not be worth it. And that's only something you can decide, or your partner. It's something you have to like figure out together after a while.
Yeah.
Okay, so another question we got is, I'm in a long distance relationship with a girl. Her parents want her to date a guy. She told me she would do as they say if it came to it and we could be platonic. What do I do? It's my first relationship with a girl and I feel like it's unknown territory. Is it a red flag?
So yes, this is definitely a red flag. It doesn't seem like this person really cares that much, saying like, oh, we'll just be platonic and I'll just like date whoever my parents dictate. Now, I don't know what like cultural things come into play, because there are pressures in certain cultures of arranged marriages. Yeah. And you might be like kind of young, who knows, and, you know, everyone's got to be safe, but I feel like you already know that this isn't a situation that makes you feel good. So I'm going to go ahead and say like, yeah, this isn't the greatest situation, probably a red flag.
Yeah. I feel like it's not even a red flag at this point. It's like a stop, turn around and go back or something, because it's like not even not like, oh, we're not dating yet, but like you're in a relationship and she's like, I'm gonna break up with you and we can be friends and I'm gonna go date a guy because my parents said so. Like, it just, I don't know, like, I want better for you. I think you can do a lot better than this situation.
Our very last question then, what are your best tips for making them work? And I do feel like we've given some advice in terms of the different date ideas and meaningful connections. But my biggest tip, I'd say, is just that, like, if that's your person, you gotta compromise and put in the work and make the effort. And like, when my girlfriend and I were kind of long distance, it wasn't fun, but it wasn't like the worst thing ever. Like, we made it work. She was still right there when I needed her, even if it was just on the phone or a text or whatever. Like, we figured it out. It wasn't ideal, but it wasn't like a deal breaker. And so it's very much of like, remember why you're even with that person in the first place. Start making a plan to maybe not be long distance or like whatever. But if that's your person, then you got to be all in, kind of thing.
Yeah, like, is it worth it? Are you willing to put up with this distance for X amount of time or however long to be with them long term? Is that
Right.
Is it worthwhile? Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like a cost analysis, kind of like, I don't know, fucking, I don't know anything about math, but like it's kind of like you got to do the equation in your head. Like, how much happiness are you receiving from this relationship versus like times the distance
Yeah.
divided by the amount of money and time and energy you're putting
There's
into it
got to be
because
an alignment chart for this. Like,
right? Can we need to
how
like
happy are
find an
you? How far
equation?
are they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say because I think like making it work is very like relative and subjective, and there's not one way to like make a relationship work, and it's just kind of figuring out what feels best and what kind of relationship works best for you and if you're on the same page about those things. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of communication, as always, with any relationship, but like even more so when you're
Yeah.
long distance. So,
Yes. So with that, we are done. If you would like to give us a call, send in any questions for future episodes, you can call us at 724-209-8877. You can find us on all social media at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for Twitter, which is just at Sapphic Survival. We also have a Patreon if you want some bonus content. That's at patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide. And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mespian on pretty much any social media platform out there.
and you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And by now, season 3 of Hello should be well underway. So please listen wherever you listen to podcasts. And with that, class is now dismissed.